Welcome, everybody. Welcome to the Sunday edition of the Geek News Central podcast. It's the 31st of October. It's Halloween. I'm Todd Cochran, your host for the show tonight. And we've got some new changes. I got some gear this weekend. And being I'm still in Central Texas and getting ready to leave for Hawaii tomorrow, I went to a show that had some gear, basically some audio gear, and I picked up some new equipment. And it's very sensitive. If I tap the table, you can hear my you can hear everything. What I got is a condensed microphone, a pretty nice one, along with a mixer, so that I can do the show in one full swoop. I've got the iPod hooked into one of the inputs, and a mic into the other, and the output running into the PC, and I can see the levels of the audio that's going in, and I can adjust it as necessary. And got one of those little I don't know what you call them. They're supposed to help the P's sound better. And but anyway, we're all set up, and I want to welcome you to the show tonight. This will be my last show in Texas, obviously. It's my I've been out here a month, and I'm really ready to go home and take this setup home and get it on a regular PC and not be running down the laptop. It's going to be kind of cool to do that and set up my office to do these shows on a regular basis, automate some of the stuff. Which reminds me, after tomorrow, you're going to be able to get through to me on Skype. Be sure to dial us at Geek News Central. That's our Skype dialing number. And we're going to have the hopefully the software that catches the MP3s is going to be working. And you'll be able to call in and leave comments 24 hours a day. Give me about 24 to 36 hours to get home, get that set up, and we'll have that up and running. You can always try it at any time, and if you don't get through, well, just try again later. I do want to make those of you that have sent me comments over the John Dvorak article, I want to thank you for your kind words. And I kind of looked at John's post that he put up. Oh, that's obviously too high, so we will turn that down. So this is something that now I can get used to doing the levels right. But anyway, John posted a message on his website on Friday called Satire Serious. Well, you know, I think we try to be semi-serious, but we also try to throw in a little humor when we can. But here's his comments, in case you haven't caught the article. I'm going to read it in full. I wrote a column questioning the overall concept of podcasting for PC Magazine, and more than a few bloggers blasted me for not being an immediate booster. So troublemaker Chris Cutler sent me this link to a classic and typical podcast that I have trouble believing is serious. Sorry, John. We try to be. It mostly resembles a guy talking to his dog for hours on end. I still think it's a put-on. Oh, there are plenty of techies out there who ramble like this. I imagine these guys on dates going on and on with their dates and eventually out-talking her. They're just... Any comments or some justice in that? And he does comment, at least unlike other podcasters, he's not overmodulated and is very understandable, although very adenoidal. Well, my voice is my voice, and I never planned on having a voice that was going to make me millions of dollars, but you get what you get when you're born, and you play with a set of cards the way you're the way you're dealt them. But you know, I took it and I looked at it and I said, okay, you know, I can be mad or I can be sad. But one thing he definitely did, he drove some traffic to the site, because just one day, the podcast that he linked was sitting around 1,800 downloads, and that was the podcast I produced on the 27th of October. And I think we added about another 900 downloads to it, so... some more of you are listening to us. Hopefully you're back with us again. And John, if you're listening, we'll try to make it more entertaining for you and not try to be so drony. But I will tell you this, that Revenge of the Nerds movie where the guys end up with the hot chicks. you know, we may talk techie, but in the long run, the girls understand where the money's at, and I end up with a hot wife. I know a few of you were confused about that. I put that comment on my website, and it was kind of to his comment about imagining a geek rambling on to some girl, and then the girl saying, "Screw it, I'm out of here." But those of us that are techies are smart enough to know not to talk tech at home. We leave that at the office, or leave it wherever we may be, and talk the talk that girls like to hear. But I do want to say hi to Mom out there. She made a comment. She actually downloaded the show, and I'm glad she's listening in. And she's actually pulling the podcast down via dial-up. Where they live in the country, there is currently no high-speed connection. It's where I'm hoping this power line, or these power companies will get into the bit and do a high-speed over the or power lines. But eventually, I'm sure they'll get DSL or something like that out there. But for now, she's stuck on dial-up, as many people are throughout America. I know a lot of people want broadband and just don't have the access to it, which is sad. And but I will. I guess I'm gonna. I may take a picture of this new kit that we've got here, or this new setup, and I will put it up, and you guys will get an idea what the what it looks like for the show. There's a few sites that I want to thank for continually supporting us. The Daily Rotation. And Daily Rotation has been a long-time driver of a lot of traffic to our sites. And we just want to throw a plug out for those guys and continue to say thank you for doing that. I will make sure that there is a link up to all the sites that we talk about tonight so that you can check it out. And with this, with that, they have probably been our number one supporter for many, many years, and they carry us on their main page, and we get a lot of traffic from them, and they are basically pulling down our RSS feed, and it's been terrific. But let me, you're going to hear some clicking. This mic, I'm going to tell you, I have to be very careful on what I touch. It's not like the old mic I was using, because it picks up absolutely everything that that I touch. And one of the sites that talks about us being their favorite podcast is, I'm going to probably pronounce this wrong like I usually do on some of these words, but it's Jemimus Weblog. And he's at www.geekswithblogs.com. And then /Jemimus, I'll put that link up there for you guys to check out. And he was just one of many sites that hit us with a trackback or made a comment to us that we picked up through Technorati or one of the other sites that track who's talking about who. And but I wanted to point him out because he did do a little write-up on our actual podcast, which was nice that some of the other people have not done. I know some of you, most of you are already pulling us down with your RSS aggregators. And we want you to know that you can pull us down via Feedster or even get us through Yahoo or on Bloglines or on MyWire service or News is Free. That way when you're away from your PC or you're at work, you can check out the feeds there. I've got a link up to all of those subscription pages, so we would appreciate it if you go ahead and add us to your subscriptions at those sites. And it helps build exposure for us, too, as we get into some of the top 100 lists. And I know we're a long ways from that on the majority of those lists, but somehow we continue to eke that out over at Feedster. I don't know how that's done. Some of these articles came out late in the last week or in the last couple of days, and I know people have been making comments about it. One that I found that was pretty interesting was that there is a study out that's found that people are using the internet more now to find about cool e-commerce deals and to, you know, instead of going looking for porn. And I know that I have been using the internet for a long time to try to find good deals on tech. And when I find those good deals, I post them up on the website. And, you know, every once in a while, some of these e-commerce sites will run a special deal, or it maybe only last 5 or 6 hours, but if it's the item you're looking for, you can get considerable savings. So if you're not pulling down Geek News every 5 or 6 hours, please do so, because when we find those deals, we try to put them up right away. And so that's how that we try to get value back to you, and to give you a little incentive to check out our site more often. I wanted to make a little comment about Firefox. They've had over 7 million downloads in the 46 days that they've had the preview release up, and they also were able to get 10,000 people to donate money to their advertisement that they're going to put in the New York Times. They raised $250,000, which is absolutely terrific, and just goes to show you that there's people out there that want to help the open source community, and this is a great way for them to get the word out about Firefox. There's an article in Search Engine Watch about web feeds, blogs, and search engine. It talks about how blogs are having an impact on search engine strategy. And those of you that are out there that are running web blogs, you know very well that in very short order, once you get your site up on, get your site up and running, Google comes through and canvasses the site, and basically you start showing up in search engine results. And it's a lot of the major media people are not real happy about that, because blogs are being found at the top of website findings, so our voices are beginning to be heard, and it's starting to make an impact, so much so that there is an article out about, and I'm going to have to find it here because I've got these intermixed, but Morgan Stanley did an article, or did a research paper that talks about, in the title, I found it on the Robin Good site, and over at masternewmedia.org, where he does a review of their story. And this is something that is very exciting, in that the weblog postings are having an impact on traditional publishing companies, in that a comment was made that the mainstreaming of web syndication technology such as RSS through easy-to-use and popular services such as My Yahoo could create a new business model with revenue streams for companies such as Yahoo, as well as those of us that are independent freelance web journalists, which probably kind of what web bloggers are. I don't consider myself to be a web journalist. I'm an absolute amateur at all of this, and have never been taught, or never have done any traditional journalist classes. I know some of the web bloggers out there are, and they tend to get a lot of traffic, but some of us are making an impact. And I think it's interesting that there may become a business model that will allow more web bloggers to become independent freelance web journalists, and that could turn into real money. So I know a lot of the companies that do investments for, you know, do funding, startup funding for companies, they're trying to figure out now what is the revenue, what is weblogs capable of as a revenue source. You know, they just can't go throw startup money if there's not going to be a return on their investment. You know, it's not like the 90s where if you had a website and two or three people working there and you breathe, you know, they basically threw cash at you. They finally got smarter and are being a little more mindful of the money that they invest in other companies. So companies like TechnoReady and some of the others that have gotten funded, movable type, you know, they have a real, there's a real revenue generation available with that, those services. So little by little, maybe those weblog professionals or those weblog journalists have, there may become an opportunity to be able to become a freelance writer, and hopefully they can keep publishing the content that's on their site, and they won't become, cronies of the organizations that they work for, so that they can stay unbiased and not jeopardize the integrity of the Weglog post so far. So I've got the iPod running tonight on Shuffle, and all the music that you're listening to tonight in the background is downloaded from GarageBand.com, and we're trying to play everything that has a Creative Commons license. I have gotten a couple of responses back from musicians on our licensing question. A couple of them are running it through their management, and a couple of them have given us permission, and we need to just a matter of time in order for me to go out there and pull their data down off their sites, or pull their music off their sites, so I can include it in our podcast and give those that have given us permission to play their music a better some recognition for that. Okay, let's move on to the next topic. And I'm playing with this new setup, so if you're hearing the music go up and down, it's because I'm sitting here playing with the knobs on this thing a little bit. Over at Locker Gnome, they made a comment about one of our podcasts, where we asked those of you that have podcasts out there to please include links on your sites to the articles that you're talking about or the website you're talking about. I know a lot of you still aren't doing it, and it's very irritating to not be able to go to the source of the information that you talk about in your podcast. Also, if you are a podcaster and you're listening to my podcast, that's a mouthful, we would, if you mentioned the Geek News Central podcast, we want you to send us an email and tell us that you did, and that way we can plug you back, and also carry the snippet on the broadcast. Okay, I talked earlier in the week. I know there's some of you out there that are sitting on the fence on deciding whether you want to do this or not. And I'll give you an indication. I think I said in the last podcast that we figured that we would see an increase in readership and hits on the site by about 20%. So what I did is I run some filters on our stats for the month, and what I came up with after I took out all the bandwidth that the podcast sucked down, and what bandwidth we had utilized, and the number of hits and everything that were not directly related to pulling down the MP3s, we found that for the month of October we had a 23% increase in hit rate on the site, and the majority of that was made up after our initial podcast, and we've seen a dramatic rise. So we did see some traffic increases, and the podcast and the viewership on the site is increasing. So I think this is an added benefit for all you guys that are trying to drive more traffic to your websites. The ICANN has approved a couple more top-level domains. They're going to allow .travel and .post to be officially approved. I know that there are some that are out there that are running that are not necessarily officially approved, and some sites are promoting, but I just wonder how long it's going to take them before they decide that this is kind of silly and just open it up and put all the names up that people want. And of course it makes I have not taken the time and went out for every domain that I have purchased and registered the org, the net. You know, if I pulled the .com initially, I just don't go order the rest of those because I can't afford to. But I know a lot of major companies are having to do that, and that's adding a lot to their bottom line because they're just having to grab the domains as pointers. So, you know, you have a company that may have 20 domains that all point to a solitary website. Just because they're trying to protect their brand, it would be simpler to put in some sort of filtering that would trademark sites and something that they would protect those domains and wouldn't let rogue people register them. But you know, it's probably a pretty big technical issue to overcome. There's an article on Ars Technica about Sony is warming up to P2P music distribution. And I kind of laugh because, you know, they're a member of the notorious RIAA. And with the RIAA suing another 750 new people and going after 230-some that didn't respond to their first summons, you know, that's 900-some people that are going to go after to settle for using P2P networks. And now Sony is going to go out and, sorry for the yawn, they're going to go out and through a site, I guess it's going to be called Mashbox or something to that sort, they're going to allow like a lower quality track to be downloaded via P2P with a link to an offering to the higher quality version for 99 cents. I'm sure this isn't going to make a lot of people happy, and it shows me that Sony is maybe warming up a little bit with their announcement of their impending release of an MP3 capable player. That's, you know, maybe they finally realize that there's a revenue market out there that they're missing, and they better get on the bandwagon or they're going to get left behind. And I think all these music companies need to realize that, because if they don't change their business model, I don't know about you, but it has been a number of years since I have purchased an album out of a music store. I do all my shopping online. Quite honestly, I think the people that are still shopping for CDs, instead of doing individual, you know something, I think we got a song within our iPod here that should not be playing. I'm forwarding it to the next song because that was a RII controlled song that we didn't want playing. I got in the lineup. But anyway, the you know, it just goes back that people aren't you know, the people that are, I think, that are still shopping at these stores are probably people that maybe do not yet have maybe they're not financially able to buy a computer, and I see a lot of people still with CD players that they're walking around with, but most of them inside, I see that when the disc comes to a stop, they change out discs, they're changing out a regular album that they bought in a music store. So I'm hoping that the cost of the media, in order to make, you know, to get it on, cost of computers and the players come down enough so that people that are on limited incomes can afford to buy those items. So, and I think once they do, and you're going to see the rest of the music stores across the United States just dry up and go out of business, or the stores are going to have to change to a different model. But it's interesting that Sony is warming up to this type of transfer of music. Spyware is becoming a keyword on the tip of every corporation's tongue. There's an article out on Associated Press that talks about companies are finally waking up and they're trying to scramble to fix a problem. Their networks are being inundated with spyware, and they're finding that their users' computers are becoming almost unusable. They're losing productivity from the office just because these programs are doing taking up processor power. So they're looking back at Microsoft and companies that like Norton and Symantec that are doing, or McAfee, excuse me, that are leaders in antivirus, but maybe not necessarily leaders in spyware and adware. They're looking back at them and saying, "Hey, come on, let's get in gear and bring us a product to the enterprise that we can use to eliminate some of this stuff on our networks." Now, I know small businesses are more affected than large companies, because most large companies have very good firewalls and they stop some of this stuff before it even makes it through the firewall. Or they have a good response already set up to deal with it, but a lot of companies don't. So it's going to be interesting to see how this spyware stuff falls out over the next year or so. I think companies like Norton and McAfee are going to get aggressive with it, and it's going to be built into our antivirus software. I think it's going to be run on a single app. I'm kind of looking forward to it. I hope they get busy doing it. A lot of people worry about global warming, and I don't know if I'm such a believer in global warming, but I know some people are. But it looks like Venice is having some problems in the last 5 days. They're trying to, they've been struggling from flooding. They've had high waters and heavy rains that have lashed northern Italy. So 80% of the city is flooded. And I remember seeing a show on Discovery here maybe a month or so ago that talked about the artificial reef that they're building. That's actually not a reef, it's a barrier that they're building outside of Venice to try to eliminate some of the flooding they're having from wave swell. And it's sad to see a city such as Venice, which is so beautiful, to have this problem. And I'm sure it's going to be you're going to see this more in the news, because it's an ongoing battle for them. On spacetoday.net, I read an article about NASA's considering trimming the space shuttle schedule. And we all know that space shuttle's getting older. And, of course, the last accident was a major setback. But, you know, let's face it, going to space and is risky business. And the astronauts that fly the space shuttle, they understand that. And it's a calculated risk. I know that in some industries, they do an ORM process to determine how much of a risk something actually is and whether it's worth it or not. But I would really hate to see NASA not use technology, maybe even using going back and sending the shuttles through rework again, and updating the technology within them to make these things last longer. You know, with the budget cuts and everything that you have, you got to use what you have to the longest capability and to their utmost capability. Just like all aircraft or spacecraft, they do have a limited lifespan, and they're designed to go so many flights before the structures, you know, start breaking down. But those guys are smart over there. They should be able to analyze what's going on inside that vehicle and know what areas they got to go look at on a periodic basis. And I see no reason why the space shuttle can't fly for many, many years. But I think the risk that they're seeing is, you know, they've gotten scared because of the two accidents that they've had. And so I guess it'll be interesting to see what the decision is that they come up with on the on the number of flights they're going to fly. But I know that they're contractually, they have to do so many to get the ISS to a certain build level, and they got to be able to support that. There's been some talk also recently of some heavy lifters that are going to be coming into service that they're going to be able to use to lift some of those bigger loads into space that the space shuttle is so well designed to do. There's going to be a blog business summit. I read about it today. It's going to be in January. And it's going to be for bloggers that are looking to make money with their weblogs. And it's going to be in Seattle, Washington. And I'm going to look at my schedule and see if I can make this one. You know, I missed a couple of the major shows this year just because of my work schedule and was not able to go. But this one may be a good one. For those of you that are familiar with the summit, or have contacts within, you know, provide me some feedback. And, you know, we need to get the word out whether this is going to be a good thing to go to for the average Joe, or if this is for your headliner web blogs. Boing Boing has a great article out yesterday. Move around my chair, you can hear me, but this mic picks up everything. Boing Boing has an article about Apple has, when they released iTunes version 4.7, they did enough engineering to disallow the program called iPod Downloaders for the OS X guys. You know, I guess I don't know what Apple's problem is. I know with Windows we can very easily get stuff in and out of the iPod. I don't necessarily use the iPod as a hard drive. I know a lot of people do. So I put mostly media on the device, and I have an external FireWire hard drive that I dump data that doesn't, it's going to overload my laptop on. But you know, they are so worried about people putting content on that thing that either doesn't belong to them, or I just don't understand what their problem is. But I know the RIA has some issues, but you know, with Sony going to this P2P thing, and I don't understand what Apple's issue is. You know, get a grip. You know, if you got third-party developers out there working to help users do something with their iPod that they want done that you're not providing, you know, get off the fence, listen to us, and quit being stupid. You know, it's just why you're not a number one computer company anymore, or ever, because you know you have never allowed your product to be third party developed, and as far as the hardware pieces go, you know, that's Apple's mistake. You know, I think they're idiots. You know, I would run OS X if I don't have to buy an Apple product. Let me run it on my PC. Release a PC version of OS X, and heck, I'll load it. You know, it may actually give some people some options that they'd be willing to try. You know, enough of that. Google has released a cheat sheet, and I know that I am always looking for ways to refine my searches. There I go yawning again. It is getting a little late here, but I'm always looking for ways on Google to refine my search strategies. And with them, you know, releasing this cheat sheet, I think it's going to help those of you that are users of Google to find stuff that may be down deep in the data that you would normally have to maybe keep clicking an additional page to get farther into the search. But check the link out that we provided for you on that. Did find a cool textually.org put up a survey that was done by Jupiter Research. Talks about how people use their cell phones. And obviously, the primary features that people use their phones for is voice, calculator, and a PIM. Calculator? You're kidding me, right? People use their cell phone as a calculator? This just blows me away. What? You know, I can't imagine using my cell phone as a calculator. There's very few times that I can't either do the math in my head or scribble something on a piece of paper and figure the answer out faster than what that almost useless calculator in a cell phone. So it just blows me away. But anyway, their survey says 73% use it for voice, obviously, 22% for calculator, 21% for a PIM, 17% for text messages. Now, I use my cell phone for voice, text messages, taking pictures, and a little bit of internet access. But internet access is all the way down at 10%. Reading emails, 11%. Listening to music is 11%. Taking pictures is 11%. Games is 12%. You know, I don't have time to play games on my computer. Why am I going to play games on my cell phone? And I guess, you know, to each his own. But you know, provide me some feedback on this. What do you guys use your cell phone for? You know, go to this link, take a look, and say, am I that user, or is that some kid? And for you kids, you know, don't get me wrong. I know you guys like to play games, and it's all cool. But you know, go out and buy a box that does that. You know, a gaming box. I'm sure y'all have got them. Some of you probably did not realize today You're supposed to set your clocks back. So if you haven't set your clocks back already, please do that. Now, I'm from Hawaii. We never change our time. I know the people in Indiana don't. And there's a few other places in the United States that don't set their clocks ahead or back, whichever time of year it may be. But if you haven't set your clocks back, set them back, and you'll get that cursory extra hour of sleep. I know I enjoyed it this morning. And of course, some of you probably will be awake mighty early for work tomorrow. I think that's about all I have for tonight. I want to thank you for tuning in to the Geek News Central podcast. Again, I'm Todd Cochran, your host, and as always, I can be reached at geek@geeknewscentral.com. And John, if you're still listening, I hope this was a better show for you tonight. And we want to hear your feedback, too. And the more you want to link our site on your site, hey, please do so, because I like the exposure. So, again, geek@geeknewscentral.com. Send us your comments on the show. And to all you crazy people out there doing podcasts, keep it up. You know, the Don and Drew show, I went X the other night, definitely rating-wise. And oh my God, are they hilarious or what? And of course, Adam Curry keeps bringing us good stuff. And there's a bunch of you out there that are coming out with new content. I'm listening to it as I get time. I listened to about a dozen podcasts today while driving up to Dallas to pick some stuff up. And some of your stuff is hilarious. The tap dancer that's doing the daily podcast news. Oh my gosh, she's hilarious. And whenever we find out who she is going to get instant fame. It's being posted anonymously, but we're going to find out who you are, and when we do, we're going to make you famous, because absolutely wonderful content. But I want to close this out and let you guys listen to another minute and 49 seconds of a group called February Day, and the song is Dust Radio. We hope that you enjoy it. It was off GarageBand.com, one of the best sources for non-RIAA music. And not to say that it isn't copyrighted, because most of it is. And get your permissions before you use that music. And check us out, www.geeknewscentral.com. This is Todd signing off. Have a great evening. My apologies. That was the song February Day by Dust Radio. Have a good night, everybody.